The flood of migrants into Europe means that Europeans have an ever more personal connection to trouble elsewhere. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley sends this profile of one asylum seeker and the Swedish woman who took him under her wing.
För att
de...
De ser...
Dagmar Norberg is giving Waliula Hafiz, who goes by Wally, Swedish lessons at her kitchen table. The 60-year-old Swedish museum director met the 23-year-old migrant from Kabul on a train platform one freezing cold day last November.
And he was standing there in a T-shirt with his jeans and his cotton gymnastic shoes. And I thought he was just one of these boys playing computer games all day long. And I've come to that age where I can say things. So I just passed him by and I said, "Det är vinter." It's winter.
Yeah, it was winter. No, I have a lot of problem. My heart is have a lot of problem.
Wally says he had so many problems he couldn't think about the weather, and besides, he didn't own a jacket. Dagmar remembers he was so stressed he was sweating, but he replied politely.
He said, "I know, ma'am." That was the first time I heard Wally's voice.
Dagmar says she knew then that he was a lost refugee and she could either go on with her life or help him.
I just knew I had this choice here and now, and whatever I do, it will have consequences.
4 months later, Wally and Dagmar are having lunch in her cozy cabin in a southern Swedish forest next to the Baltic Sea. Wally has a university degree in electrical engineering, and he says back in Kabul he had a successful business with a contract to supply the Afghan army with propane gas canisters.
All of people know me. This is Wally. They have with me contract.
One day, the Taliban came and promised Wally a bigger house and a fancy car if he'd let them refill the army's empty gas bottles. Wally says they wanted to turn those bottles into bombs and expected him to take them back onto the base through the numerous checkpoints using his pass.
A good life. All of them take it, but...
Wally breaks down as he tells his story. He says the Taliban came to his house where he was with his wife and newborn son after he refused. He shows me a pink 3-inch scar down the back of his head. He says one of the Taliban hit him with the butt of his Kalashnikov and left him for dead.
And this time, my mama told me, "You don't do life in there. After this time, I should go to the other province."
When he awoke from a coma 13 days later, Wally says his mother told him he had to get out of Afghanistan.
So there you have a young man having a nice little family, and then all of a sudden his existence is just blown to pieces.
Now Dagmar is helping Wally with his asylum application. Wally wants to bring his wife and child to Sweden as soon as he can.
I understand Wally's English.
Just Dagmar, my language is...
Wally helps Dagmar with jobs around her property. And Wally says Dagmar's the only one who understands his English.
You know my language.
There's another guest at lunch on this day. Jorgen Andersson is a forester clearing some trees in the surrounding woods, using a horse, not a tractor, to pull the logs out one by one. Wally has applied to be Jorgen's apprentice, and the Swedish government will pay Wally to learn forestry if his application is accepted. Jorgen says he never thought of taking an Afghan refugee as an apprentice, but he's glad he can help.
I'm happy to do that. If he feels better, I feel better.
What will you have to teach him? Where do you start?
I have to teach him everything, because he's never been in a forest before.
Wally says in Sweden he finally feels like a human being again. 2 weeks later, I learn that the Swedish government has approved Wally's apprenticeship. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Ronneby, Sweden.